it's Wednesday morning and we have so much cool stuff to get to, lots to talk about, and Jack doesn't have any disturbing pictures for us.
I promise they're done.
You promise?
Okay. They are finished.
I want to introduce to you, if you haven't seen her before on the show, and she was on the show with us, The Perfect Picture with Canon, just a little while ago, about a year maybe? It was last year, sometime. Can't exactly remember, but it feels like quite a long time ago. Zahira Marty, an internationally renowned travel TV show host, also a brand South Africa ambassador, and a dedicated advocate for her beloved homeland of South Africa. She is also always all over the world, and we finally, after months of trying, have managed to get her in the studio this morning to be a part of the show. So, welcome.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Yeah, you look better in person.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, we were impressed with you when you were on camera last time, but you're even better now. So, where are you most of the time? Because you are an ambassador for Brand South Africa, among other things. But it seems to me like you are traveling more than anyone else I know. You're all over the world.
It's been a busy year. Yeah. So home base technically is Dubai.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's where my child is enrolled at school. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
But yeah, it's been a busy year. There's been a lot of travel this year, which has been incredible. And I'm one of those where the opportunity jumps up, I'll take it and I'll work it out later. So it's been great.
Your kid is at school in Dubai. What are schools in Dubai like?
Expensive.
In okay.
That's
one word.
What they're like. I
mean, one word.
English school.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that they learn all kinds of interesting things in Dubai because that's really a city of the future.
Well, you basically choose your curriculum. So you can either go French or Swiss or American. I've gone British because it's the closest, and that's not by choice. It's not normally my preference, but it's the closest to the system that I grew up with.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a good, well-balanced schooling system. You can range in price like anything in Dubai. You get the super bougie, like Bentley driver, dropper offer type schools. I'd like to think we're in the middle ground.
That's very cool. Okay, so I mean, with the kid and travel, that's also complicated because you can't just say, okay, cheers, babe. I'll see you on Thursday in 2 weeks' time. Have fun at school. I packed an extra sandwich.
Well, you say you can't.
But I mean, like, how do you manage? Because that's not easy. And, you know, parents, the worst thing about parents is they are super judgy of other parents.
Mm-hmm.
So the minute you are doing something that the other moms aren't doing, you're either way too cool, in which case they hate you, or you're less worthy than them, in which case they hate you.
Yeah, that's when your kid comes home with a letter from someone.
No, it's not the letter. It's the conversations at pickup that are my favorite.
Oh, yes? not on here?
So no. I'm sure there's private groups, but there's the group and there's the subgroup and then the subgroup to the subgroup.
Okay.
So now, like, there's animal kingdom dynamics in school moms, right? And then you've got, like, the groups of moms that are cool and the groups of moms that think they're cool. And I'd like to think I'm a cool mom.
Okay.
There's a group of three of us. The other two are Dutch. And we'd like to think we're cool. Our kids have been together for a few years. But it's the pickup conversations. Like, oh, hi, Noah's mom. You're not traveling this week. It's so nice to see you at school this morning.
Actually being a mom.
Hey, yeah, and I'm like,
I'm not judging
you. Hi, yes.
Bitch.
I'm here. Exactly.
That's
like, you look miserable.
In those situations, I wish like we could have like subtitles that pop up to show you the actual meaning of what they're trying to say.
Jack's right. We as guys, we don't read that stuff. Like when a guy is super nice to another guy, he wants something from him.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we're going to do a business deal, or I need you to come with me and make sure that I get beaten up by this other gangster or whatever.
Guys are transactional.
But it's kind of honest.
Yeah.
Like women, exactly the opposite applies. Like the nicer she is to you, the more she loathes and despises.
Well, I think female dynamics are never direct, right? They're never honest. They never, well, I can't say never.
We know why, by the way.
But really.
This is because of evolution. This is what women developed subtle and indirect forms of communication because they were always communicating. Whereas men, if you're hunting something,
you have to keep your mouth shut.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Straight away, you know exactly what the instruction is. If you fuck around, people die.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. But I appreciate that about
with women. They die, but in different ways, because you die socially, and then you're excluded from the tribe. Yes. Your value goes down. That's damning in a different way.
Yeah,
I mean, the dynamics in a school scenario, no one prepares you for. It is some of the wildest Hunger Games shit I have ever come across in my life, and I've only got one. I mean, there's parents with kids in multiple years, and then you're dealing with this Hunger Game situation
in
multiple
grades.
Groups, like you're in different arenas, right? Because each WhatsApp group is a different fucking arena. Like, you're playing a different game here. Oh. I'm quite aloof. I try and stay out of the nitty-gritty. I do sometimes get a coffee and sit down in the morning and read the WhatsApp group and just laugh. It's hilarious, the dynamics about what we're buying the teacher and why are we spending that much on flowers and not on chocolates and why are we buying it here and not there?
I mean, these people don't have enough to do.
It's like we never leave high school, right?
No.
It's crazy.
Jack was saying this morning, you almost have to go into every day to find a reason to laugh. And it sounds to me like that's a lot of what you do too.
Yeah.
But you are living in this amazing place most of the time in Dubai. And it's fascinating to me because that place really is an example of some of the best and some of the worst things about what our future could hold.
Yes.
First of all, anything you want to do, any experience you want to have, anything you want to buy, it's there, right?
That's true.
I mean, in the space of a couple of square kilometers, you've got the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it must be for a mom and for your kid, it must just be the most incredible opportunity. Because you're also in the center of the world. I mean, geographically, you are closer to everything than anyone else. We all will probably have to fly to Dubai in order to get to wherever we're actually going, right? And they've set themselves up in such a clever way to be that. But that place has evolved enormously in the last 5 to 10 years. I mean, you could even say in the last year, it's unrecognizable to people who haven't been there for 2 years.
100%. I mean, it is exactly as you say, you've got the best of everything, but it also, coming from South Africa, it's really important for me to ground my son. You can't, I laugh because one of my son's friends came over for a play date, as they do. Like, Noah's mom, is Noah flying first class to South Africa in the summer? I was like, no, love, no. We're an economy class kind of family.
Okay.
Like, it's these kinds of conversations that growing up, I don't think I knew at 7 what first class was.
Sure. Yeah.
And he's got kids, and it's the city. It's not specific to our school.
Sure.
You will range from a parent who owns a super yacht, as we do in our class, to a parent that is regular, like what I would consider myself, regular.
And then
everything in between.
Terribly, terribly poor people too.
Absolutely. The people that build and put the city together. But for me, what that landscape has presented is just incredible opportunity. It's given me a platform that I never dreamed would be possible.
Tell us about where it all started for you, because I don't know a whole lot about you. And I just, when we had you on the show, I was like, she seems like she has a lot of stories to tell. So where were you born? Like, what kind of a background did you have here in South Africa before you ended up there? Who did you marry? Tell us about that.
So born in Durban, lived in Durban most of my life. Muslim in terms of religion, but quite a open-minded background, which I can't be more grateful for, particularly in the world that we are in today. My parents gave us the opportunity to do whatever, whenever, with boundaries and a solid foundation, which is how I would like to think I'm raising my son. So I've got a brother. He's 4 years younger than me, far more responsible, far better with finances, far more independent as a human. Still the guy I call if I need something, still the guy I call if I get into trouble. He's also in Abu Dhabi at the moment.
Okay. Yeah.
I pulled him out of the dredges of South Africa and I was like, come on over. Like, you can start. Slept on my couch for a couple. It was great. And now he's far better as a human. Grew up here, Westfield Girls High. I was a nerd.
Okay.
Head girl, sportswoman of the year, blah, blah, blah. And then I just got into TV by chance. Mags, do you remember Margaret van der Westhuizen?
Yeah, of course. Yes. She was on Big Brother, the first season
of
Big
Mags
Brother.
And I were having lunch one day, and she's like, there's this top billing presenter search thing.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you? And I was like, come on, Mags. Like, that's not, I'd love to do it, But no, let's be real, like Durban girl working in marketing, she fills out the form, she sends it in, she's like, you're doing it. Truth That's be told, cool. Got called down to the top 12, didn't make the final. That was the year there was a little bit of drama with the finalists. Didn't think anything of it. Sitting at my brand activation desk where I used to manage, you know, those pop-ups in supermarkets where you'd walk down an aisle. It's like, would you like to try the new sunscreen by Johnson & Johnson?
Some person with a sausage
so
on a
I
tooth.
Managed those. Like, I had to get those kids in and train them and all the rest of it. Also didn't go into full university. It wasn't for me. When I got out of school, I was like, that's it. I'm free. The world is my oyster. I want to study. I want to travel. I just don't want to be tied down to a full-time degree. So worked loads of jobs and I loved it. While my friends were waitressing through high school, I decided, no, I'm going to do a course. So I did makeup. And rather than waitressing, because I don't think I'd have been very good at it, I did makeup. So I did bridal makeup and workshops and weddings and shoots. And I did a lot of work. In Durban, there's not much work. There's Mr. Price and Miladies. That's Durban, right? Yeah. So I worked both of those, which was great. As an assistant, I ironed clothes. I returned clothes. I did all the hard yards. And I was like, I actually like working. I like earning my own money.
That's a big deal.
I really like it.
People think, well, not people. I mean, it's always refreshing to hear someone like you say, I like working. Because there are a lot of very bitter and twisted, resentful people in the world who actually think work is an imposition.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, work is the stuff that you do. That's living, actually.
Yeah.
It isn't the shitty part of like having a 2-day weekend.
Yeah.
And then the 5 days of work is your punishment.
Yeah.
It's like you've got to be, if you're not enjoying what you're doing, that's on you.
Yeah.
You know, find something that you enjoy. And frankly, it's not about how much you get paid or how important you are in
Absolutely
your office.
Absolutely not.
It's like, are you making a contribution? Are you having fun? Do you feel that there's a sense of purpose there?
Mm.
And what you just said now is so goddamn refreshing. I'm so sick of hearing people going, oh, working hard.
I love working.
Work is so tough.
Yeah.
I'm so busy. You know, how often you speak to people, I'm so busy.
That is the most bullshit statement of the last 15 years.
Joe Biden isn't even busy, and he's president.
No one is too. You're never too busy to reply to a WhatsApp. You're never too busy to answer a call. You're never too busy to answer an email. It might be late, but reply to the damn thing because no one is that busy. No one is that busy.
Mm-mm. And so, I think what people don't take the time to do is to discover themselves and then find work that fits who they are. You know what I mean? Well, everyone is just going around looking for a job.
Zahra just said now, she had to do some not particularly glamorous stuff. I mean, now you've got a fairly glamorous life.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's quite a cool dream job for most people to be able to travel the world, to do travel shows, to be able to represent the brands that you do, to be living in a place like you live. But you had to iron clothes, and you had to do makeup, and you had to organize the promo people inside of supermarkets.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So that's not glamorous and fun.
Absolutely not. Do you know how many milk cartons I've counted in my life? But before that, it was all. But you know what it is, though. It's a big part of it is us being South African as well.
Yeah.
And I see that. I think sometimes you get a bit caught up in it when you live here, but when you live abroad, you really see, for lack of a better word, how our South Africanness is so different. And we're so happy to work.
In a good way.
Okay. In a fantastic way. We're hard workers. We will get a job done to the best of our ability. We don't complain nearly as much as a lot of other nationalities. I mean, that's a whole other conversation. But we just get, I mean, I had a PR agency for 13, 14 years. I mean, it's still the license that I operate now on. But as South Africans, it's, well, if there's a spill on the floor, I don't need to wait for somebody else to come and tidy up. If it's my event, I can get down on my knees and wipe that up and let's get on with it. Like, let's do what needs to be done.
The worst place to me for that is Europe. It's like if there's a light bulb out, you can't get up there and take it out and fix it, put a new one in. You have to call the person whose job it is to do that.
Yeah.
And they have to do it. Otherwise, you're not only not solving the problem, according to them, you're creating new problems. Because now you're taking the work away from that person who specializes in that one stupid little thing.
Yeah.
And it's just so counterproductive.
Well, in Europe, you'd be taking it away from them. In Australia, they'd tell you that you don't have the license to be up on that ladder to be changing the bulb.
Oh, my God.
So there's a whole other situation of red tape.
Could not agree more.
What were some of the other cultural differences that you noticed? I mean, look, as you said, since we are here and we live in South Africa, we don't necessarily pick up on how different we are to the rest of the world.
We're bloody awesome. That much I can tell you. Mm. Okay. One of the things I miss most about home are the people. Like even that grumpy guy at immigration, when I get off that plane every time I get home, who barely snorts at me as he pulls my passport across his desk, I love him because he is home and he reminds me about everything that I miss. And it's just, it's our people. We're easygoing. We connect. Yep. You know, we shoot, my crew is all South African. So they fly out of South Africa. I fly out of Dubai, wherever I am. And I love that. And I don't know if I can work with a crew that isn't South African for a show like a travel show. We spend so much time together. Wherever we have shot our shows, we shoot for an American network. We have found a South African who has helped us make a plan to get through things.
Okay.
Sure.
And I'm talking like the weirdest, furthest corner of Madagascar to LA to everywhere we've been. We have found a South African that has hooked us up in some way, shape or form. And you know, made a plan to get stuff done.
It's so refreshing to hear that because at some point, especially this year, I thought to myself, you know this Makaplan thing?
No, no, it's real.
It's real.
I legit thought that might be one of our biggest problems. But seemingly it's our biggest, it's one of our biggest.
It's great and we're known for it. Yeah. I have friends that I'll go, they go, oh, Zah, we've got a problem with this and it's not working out. Do you know someone? I'm like, yeah, yeah, leave it with me. They're like, you South Africans, you guys always find a way. I'm like, yeah, we do.
But isn't that the whole point? I mean, like fixing problems is what creates business.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's, we were just talking to Nobisutu about like World Entrepreneurs Day today. And by the way, you've got to tell us where we can see your show. Is it only on these American networks?
So the American show is only on the American network.
So we
can't
see it.
But we have just shot a pilot for a brand new show, which we own completely. Funny story, I worked with this crew 18 years ago on Top Billing. We all went our own ways for 18 years.
Is Top Billing...
No, it's not a thing anymore.
I don't know.
No.
I don't know. I don't watch television.
So this is where we all met. And now, 18 years later... I'm back with the same crew I shot with when I was green,
that's cool.
Shit on TV,
that is cool.
Zero experience, was really, really not where I should have been. And we are making amazing travel shows. We just shot our pilot in Madagascar, which is a phenomenal destination, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get there.
Tell me quickly, because travel shows always look like the most fun, but I suspect in the background sometimes it's not so great because you have to rush around. It's like the Amazing Race some of the time. And then you're showing the best stuff, especially on a show like Top Billing back in the day. They used to show off all this great stuff, but then they're all staying in some roach motel while you're like filming, walking through someone's house.
Here's
their gold-plated lavatory. But I'm living in this rat-infested shithole down the road.
You could do a whole show of behind the scenes of a travel show. To put in perspective, our show that we just shot in Madagascar a few weeks ago, we went diving by mistake with mics on. So there were two mics halfway through, gone, goodbye, nice knowing you.
Expensive.
And we, when I say we, it wasn't me, but there was a camera left on a windowsill to time lapse in Antananarivo while we went for breakfast on the 8th floor. Well, let's just say we were picking up pieces and looking for an SD card on the street after breakfast. So it,
you see, that's not
and
fun.
It's frustrating. Different landscapes present different issues. You know, some parts of Africa can be very challenging to communicate to. Lots of people don't understand. I mean, I know we've got our own time scale of the now nows and the just nows and the which people struggle with.
Yeah, we do.
But Namibia was a whole other, like, you'll be there soon, 3.5 hours later. Like, well, we need to catch the sunset. Well, you'll be there. We get there and the sun's going down and there's this massive dune we need to get to the top of and it's a 1.5 hour hike. And we're like, well, we've got 35 minutes. We need to get the shot. Running up the side, the steep side of the dune. And, you know, you take like 10 steps up and 5 steps down just with the sand movement. That was the day I questioned my life choices very, very seriously.
It was like, well, who needs to go to gym?
Yeah.
Just run up the dune.
Yeah, you don't sleep much. I don't have a glam crew.
In the comments wants to know, has the tourism in Madagascar improved a bit? Because they did have that, you know, there was an actual ongoing civil, I don't know if you call it a civil war, but there was an argument between Ravalomanana and what was the other guy? He was a DJ. He was a radio DJ, became the president
Can you imagine?
Of Madagascar.
Madagascar is a very interesting landscape. So to answer the question, yes, it has. It has gotten a lot better. Okay. Personally, I think if you're going, the capital isn't somewhere I would spend too much time. There's parts of it that have a bit of a hillbrow-ish feel to them. But Nosy Bee and the islands are phenomenal. And the one thing I will say is they're not going to stay that way. So I'd say in 10 years' time, it's going to be very commercial. At the moment, it's very rustic. They're new to tourism. Tourists are new to them. So you get that element of real authenticity on the islands, but it's not going to stay that way. Emirates is flying there now, and it's
coming in. Where is the best place that you've been? Because when you do travel as much as you do, you get to see places the rest of us don't, and you get to capture stuff for the rest of us that we maybe don't get to experience. I'm pretty sure that you've done and been to some places that the rest of us have no idea about. Secret, special places that you would recommend any day of the week.
If she says Isle of Man, I'm walking out.
No,
I won't say Isle of Man. It's a very hard question. I would say Bora Bora tops my list.
That just sounds so
French
fantastic.
Polynesia is a very special piece of this earth.
But it's far.
It's really far.
Mm. How do you even get there? Do you have to fly
via... So we did Dubai, Australia. So we did Melbourne, Auckland, Auckland, Tahiti, Tahiti,
Bora Bora.
Bora, Bora.
It's a long way.
Where we are, you go it's
opposite side.
Opposite. That's where you need to be.
It is that's where you get those like translucent, crystal clear waters, those mountains.
Although I will say Madagascar, and people might pull me up for this, you're not going to get the bougie Four Seasons Bora Bora because there's none of that yet in Madagascar. But Madagascar's water. And what you're going to see is pretty epic if you choose. I mean, it's whale shark season in the next 2 months.
You're doing a great job for Madagascar this morning.
I've just been there. I'm going back to dive with
them. I hope they give you citizenship after
there.
This because this is the most, this is the best PR
it's
job
amazing.
I've ever seen on the
It's
planet.
Amazing. Manta rays, though, you see a lot of them in Bora Bora.
A bit scary.
I saw them in...
A little bit scary.
No, they're not.
It's like a giant animal aeroplane. But it's in water.
Yeah, but an aeroplane that just wants to hover around you.
Yeah,
Diving in Sharm el Sheikh a few weeks ago, and she kind of came past us, and they're just beautiful.
Yeah, wasn't Sharm el Sheikh the place where that Russian was eaten by a shark just recently?
I'm sure you could find a news article for anywhere in the world where someone was eaten by a shark.
I saw that video and I thought,
sharks don't choose to eat you. You get in their way.
Fair enough. Percy says Bora Bora is the most expensive trip from South Africa.
It could very well be. Yeah.
Of airfares.
But there's loads of amazing places in the world. And Africa is just a continent. I think South Africans do not explore enough. And I don't understand why. It's got so much. I went to Botswana for the first time a few weeks ago, or say 2 months now. Also not cheap. That's the one knock I will say in Africa, is Africa's not cheap. You could probably do a trip to Asia for the same cost of going on a safari to Botswana, even though the flight time's so different. But there is just so... Rwanda.
I want to go to Ethiopia.
Ethiopia's wild. Like, in terms of violence, I believe it's wild. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Although I met a guy in Madagascar who was like, you should come to Ethiopia. And I was like, yes, sign me up. Where do I pack my bag? But Rwanda, if you're in for real adventure, Rwanda is a jewel of Africa. Sixth safest country in the world. Wow. I would walk through the streets of Kigali at any time, day or night, and feel absolutely safe. The most incredible people. The gorillas are unlike anything you're ever going to see in your life. And I can say that hands down.
I think from someone who hasn't gotten the opportunity to travel the continent, I think we've been sold the idea that Africa is this lawless, dingy, dusty, nasty
place. And
that's
bullshit.
And for whatever reason, South Africans have been positioned to think like we are the cream of the crop.
Yes.
And therefore, going anywhere else is just going below what you're used to.
I mean, we are pretty awesome. And our country is phenomenal. I drove up to Swellendam last week just because I saw this really cool cabin on Airbnb. Just a glass hut on the bottom of a farm called Fazenda. And it was two nights of just me, the river, the rain, the wind, lit a few fires,
That's nice.
We don't explore our own country enough,
mm-hmm.
and definitely don't explore the continent enough.
Yeah.
And there is so much on this continent to see. And it is the best, and I'd say this category, like hands down, after being in a lot of parts of the world, our hospitality and customer service in Africa is leaps and bounds ahead of most of the world.
Well, here's Percy says, after traveling the world, South Africa is the best and most beautiful country to travel in. And we just take it for granted because it's our backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we really do.
Kind of shitty of
us. And having been away 14 years, when I come back, that's one thing I always leave with is this country is phenomenal.
So how often do you get back here?
As often as I can. I do a fair bit of work with different tourism groups, hotel chains in South Africa. I host events. I'm back in 2 months to host the Rwanda Business Forum for the ambassador. Any opportunity I get to come home, I'll come home.
That's great.
What made you fall in love with traveling in the first place? Was it because they presented the idea for the show and you were like, let me give this a shot? Or were you a traveler already prior to that?
It definitely wasn't the show. I actually never traveled overseas until I was kind of towards the end of my high school career. We were a domestic family. We drove Garden Route every December. Religion, like you don't question it.
Yeah.
And what was then the Eastern Transvaal, right? Like Zanine, God's Window, all of that. We did that in our school holidays. We'd pack a car and that's what we would do. And then I went overseas with my parents on a short holiday. And I was like, oh, this is really nice. I like this, seeing other worlds, meeting other people. And then it was like an addiction. The minute I got out, I couldn't stop.
This is a good addiction to have.
And that's still the problem.
It's a really good addiction to have.
It's expensive, though.
Tracy says, Namibia is pretty damn amazing, too. The vastness is not for everyone, but just like it, she says. Really feeds the soul.
I've never seen a sky like I did in Namibia. I have never seen those many stars that clear in my entire life. There is not a sky like it.
So do you, when you're not traveling, get time to do other stuff that you really want to do? Because everybody has these bizarre hobbies that they, I spoke to a friend of mine the other day who collects, like people collect the weirdest shit too. And when you travel, it gives you an opportunity to collect all kinds of interesting things. But she collects like little clay sort of statue things. And she's got like this shelf full of them from all over the world. That's the most bizarre little thing that you could, everybody has something that they do. Do you have a hobby besides all of this or are you just too busy? Because being a mum, there's not a lot of time.
Yeah, I mean, look, my kid's pretty easy. I got very lucky with him. He's 7.
Okay.
He's pretty easygoing. My husband travels a lot as well. He's a veterinarian by profession, but he's massively into landscape photography.
Oh.
So he travels around the world teaching.
A good synergy there.
These bougie, but we can't work together.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
All right.
No. But he takes these like bougie groups of Americans, all the gear, no idea kind of vibes. And they
is
do
it
these
okay if I take it at this angle?
Yeah, yeah. And at this stage, the lion is literally 5 kilometers down the road. But he's got some really lovely clients, I joke. But he does these photo tours with his friend Daniel. And I'd say Daniel's probably the number one landscape photographer in the world, like Nat Geo, Daniel Corden. He's Russian, lives in Bali. Phenomenal guys. And they travel. But they like, no need to shower and can sleep in a tent. So we have very different travel styles.
Yeah. He can rough it.
He can rough it. Like he's in Ethiopia at the moment, actually. They're photographing these tribes in the Omo Valley. So my son is used to a very transient life. From the time he got his 3-month vaccine. Yes, I said it. I vaccinated my child.
These days, very controversial.
Yeah. He's vaccinated. We were on a plane. And our first trip was South Africa, obviously. And then a month later, we were in Melbourne. And I think with having two sets of families on opposite ends of the world.
Your husband also from here?
He's from Melbourne.
Oh,
I crossed over to the dark side.
Oh, Australian.
Yeah. Not much we agree on in our house.
No one's perfect.
Yeah. He doesn't break dance, thankfully, though.
Oh, my God.
Which is phenomenal.
That woman, what do they call her? Doctor? What is it?
Ray Gun.
Oh, yeah.
Just the greatest thing.
But you know what? You got to love Australian pride. Like, they're defending that to the tilt. They are going all out.
Doctor Ray Gun is the
The best thing on the internet this year.
Oh my goodness. Can you imagine flying to Paris just to stretch?
Was that even though? I mean, was that a stretch?
It looked like a warm-up. I was like, okay, when does the performance begin?
My husband, my son jumps around the house like this now going, Mom, look, I'm breakdancing. I was like, yes, buddy, that's your passport, not mine. So it's not my problem. So he's used to movement. He's used to being on planes. Now that he's at school, he has to be grounded a little bit more.
Mm.
But if I had my way, I'd probably hybrid school, travel,
these days, you
school
know.
Of life kind of vibes. And my folks fly up from South Africa at a drop of a hat, thankfully, to babysit.
Okay, good. So he gets to see them as well.
Yeah, a lot, because they step in whenever I have to step out.
Yeah, there's something about friends of mine who live in Dubai or Abu Dhabi as well. They become citizens of the world. And in a very real sense, that is a thing. It doesn't matter so much because, frankly, I mean, like, nationalism is kind of a bit dumb anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If you can live somewhere where you can do all the things you want to do, you can get to places easily, you can explore business opportunities, you can meet people from all over the world and have a really eclectic life, I don't understand how that couldn't be optimal for just about everybody. I mean, you still get, you know, people who like being at home, and maybe I'm one of those. But I think for anyone who wants to be a part of the world, there are ways to do that now that were never possible for our parents' generation.
Absolutely. Yep. And you see it. You see it in the kids. You see it. I see it in my son and the things that he knows and he sees and he tastes and he, you know, speaks and he's learning different languages and he knows us about different tribes and this and that. And that's one of the reasons I love being there is the exposure that I've always craved. I'm a people person and not in the cliched marketing sense. I thrive on meeting people. And that's what I love about my travel is that I get to sit and meet and talk to people in different countries and connect with them. And, you know, we do the touristy stuff, but what I value more is when my tour guide ends our tour itinerary for the day and he's like, do you want to come home and meet my family? I'm like, yes, that's what I want to do. I want to come to your house. I want to sit at your dining table.
I would hate that.
And I want you to cook me a meal. I love it.
I'd be like, no, we're done for the day. Thank you. I'll go back to where
I go. Well, I'm the PR face, right? That's what the crew do. They're like, PC, we're out. We'll see you tomorrow. Call time's 5 a.m. Enjoy your dinner. Like I love it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ross says, I've just gone from from Durban to the Congo on my motorbike. Africa is by far the most unique and beautiful place with the most friendly people. Angola is a very special place. Endless beauty. That's from Ross.
Yeah. Wow. There's so much more
people
on this continent.
People are doing fun stuff, man.
They really are.
Yeah.
And I saw a couple of comments in the comment section. So we were very fortunate to hang out with Eric Weinstein.
Yeah.
Some time back. And he mentioned St. Helena. Have you been there before?
I haven't, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Bitcoin Butch, he hasn't been there. Because he's been asking for like the past 15 minutes. I had to put him out
of
his misery.
Oh, no, I haven't. I mean, the list of places I haven't been is very long.
Yeah.
But then if I go to a place like Japan and I do it in one season, I'm like, oh, this is nice. I want to come back in winter. So then it's like not just ticking a place off, it's ticking it off in different scenarios. Seasons, like I was in St. Petersburg and I did summer, which was now, and I just missed the white nights, you know, where it's light the whole night. What a phenomenal city.
It is, huh?
Yeah.
And absolutely
you wouldn't think,
phenomenal.
People have kind of written Russia off at the moment.
Which I don't even agree with.
No, I have a friend, it's a couple actually, they just went to Russia for the second time in a year.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And they said it is unbelievable fun. St. Petersburg and Moscow.
Absolutely. And I went Russia straight off the back of the US.
Mm.
And the hospitality difference between the US, who are just really unhappy at the moment, really unhealthy at the moment.
Place, right?
They are just, you know, that picture perfect movie scene of like walking into a coffee shop with this big smile and how can we help? That is gone. Yeah. That is not there anymore. I walked past bloodied needles and just homeless people on Fifth Avenue. It was very, very confronting. Very confronting.
It's them damn liberals.
I had a 5-year gap between my last trip and this one, and the difference is crazy.
I haven't been to America since 2019, and I've got to tell you, I'm nervous to go again.
Mm.
Just lower those, bring that expectation bar right down to the ground, and you'll be fine.
And I used to love going. I used to go often.
I went twice a year, but I don't think it's going to be up on that list for a while.
Alex wants to know, have you traveled through the East? We don't talk about it enough. Always Europe and the Americas.
Yeah, I love the East. I tend to avoid Europe only because I think, again, it's very cliched. A lot of people do it. And the Schengen visa situation for us is always a hack. I mean, you can't get an appointment in the UAE for months at the moment. Oh, and no. You can pick a country and I can guarantee you, you won't get it there either. I love the East. I love Bali. I was there for a yoga retreat in February. Had the best time.
Yeah, you
time.
Looked like a yoga retreat.
The best time.
Chick. Yeah,
I can it's actually that. My first I one, Gareth. That about you. It's my first one.
My yoga retreat.
My
with
best
the girls.
Friends the are yoga thing, instructors.
The only thing missing was for you to walk in here and say namaste.
No, I'm not a yogi. I do yoga, but I'm not guessing. A yogi. I can't do the inversions, and I just enjoy. And I've only gotten into it recently. But my girlfriends are. Very good instructors, but they're not the, I have to be very careful. It's a very sensitive community. I'm not a meditate. I can't, like, I'm not okay. A meditative type. Mm. My girlfriend's style is very like athletic and, you know, it's great. It gives you a good balance of everything. Sure. I can't sit still. So don't ask me to sit still for 20 minutes and like go work within. Doesn't work. Mm. But we did this awesome retreat and we did loads of different classes and we ate great food, but it's not the plant eating yoga community. We're like, okay. We'll do a yoga workout and then go have a piece of steak.
Yeah.
And that's the balance that I live okay, by I like in it. Life in general.
Yeah, that's yeah, good. Yeah.
We need more people.
We
like
were
you.
Talking about this at the beginning of the show. Yeah. We've come full circle.
We have.
All right. So we talked a little bit about travel. We've talked about you being a mom. We've talked about your husband and you and your different careers and everything else. What's on the agenda next? I mean, this is the exciting stuff, is that you can do pretty much anything you want now. What do you want to do next?
So the new show is the baby at the moment and getting that off the ground.
How are you positioning this show? Because there are also a million travel
shows.
There's
a billion. Yeah, there's
so
a million.
How do we make this one special?
So I would say if you're looking for a show that is going to give you a very honest and authentic take on a destination – not just the pretty photos, not just the fancy places that you need to go. It's very real. It's shot in a very real way as well. What you're seeing isn't being done 15 times before it airs. It's as you see it, as you experience it. Like, oh my goodness, I've just put this amazing piece of crayfish in my mouth. Look, it's try it, like, to camera. And the crew is shooting it that way as well. And like I said earlier, value my South African team because we are so in sync with how real we want to be. Everyone's sick of the influencer travel, right? Where you go and the place is an absolute shithole, but there's a tiny corner where the rock looks really pretty if you photograph it at a certain angle, and that's what's on Instagram. And you spent a fortune to be here for that one angle of that one rock in that one corner, and the rest of it is absolute waste of time.
Yeah.
No one has time for that anymore.
No.
It's a very real, if you're coming here, don't spend too much time here. Skip through, stay a night, go to this one restaurant and move on because the islands is where you need to be. Or don't stay in this part of town. Stay here. Don't eat this, eat that.
Yeah, that's a rapey part of town.
Stay away. Nobody wants to be there.
Absolute shit.
Nobody wants to be in rapey central.
You'd be better eating a handful of gravel than eating in this restaurant. Yeah. That kind of thing. So on that note, because you just brought up like the influencers, do you think that that era is coming to an end?
Yes.
Because I'm so sick of influencers. I don't believe any of them. I don't trust any of them. I don't think any of them have any insights really. They've zeroed in on a niche which has become not a niche.
Yeah. Mm.
It's like everyone's exploiting the same thing. It's like the posing, the filters,
right?
The nonsense, unimportant platonic things that they all say to each other and to us. I'm just like so over it. And I think there's this massive hunger in the world at the moment for, I hate the word, but authenticity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate the word like, too.
Yeah, because it's been overused.
But you
right?
hate the word.
Yeah. No, you everybody it. Says they want authenticity, but when they meet with it, they're not always sure that they actually like it.
Look, my background's PR and marketing, right? So influencer marketing is a big part of it. And for the longest time, I've sat in meetings and campaigned to a brand to say, you need to work with A, B, and C. The biggest frustration is exactly what you've said. It's such an inauthentic, is that a word? That is a word.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Absolutely.
Such an inauthentic industry at the moment. And the minute I get that, even on a brief or an email, I'm like, look, that's not what I am. I'm a storyteller, or I'll even take journalist or media, but I'm not an influencer. Because the only way you can actually influence someone's opinion accurately is if you give them enough truthful information, which unfortunately in a 30-second or 60-second reel, you're not getting.
Yeah.
Or pretty selection of photos that have been fully edited. I mean, I edit photos. I'm not, it's not a knock on editing or how you pose or how you do it. It's just your messaging needs to be authentic. But in their defense, for the longest time, brands have also enjoyed that gravy train of the crap that influencers put out.
But I mean, it's also safe for them, right?
It's safe, like, and well, they get the numbers, and some marketing executive is ticking a box, and they're going home going, I've done my job, look at my insights. And I've done it. I've submitted those crappy reports to clients where I've sat there on a Friday and gone, shit, I've got to report to you on Monday. Where am I going to pull insights from? Can I send this out to influencers over the weekend and cramps? We've all done it.
And by the way, I mean, this is an important thing for anyone who's running brands anywhere to understand, is that doesn't mean that you have to be awful and negative and shitty to be authentic. I mean, that's not authenticity.
No.
Authenticity is just being real.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means it's a, you know, it's a little bit more unfiltered and unedited and uncensored. It sometimes means that the people are going to have a bit of a rough edge occasionally.
Yeah.
You're going to see some things that are reality as opposed to fantasy, which is what we were talking about earlier.
Yep.
But it can also be beautiful and positive and optimistic, and it can help your brand along, and your brand can rediscover a personality and a character rather than a sort of a front, which is what so many of them are doing. They're just, it's a front. It's like a storefront full of mannequins, but there's nothing moving in the background, and you're like, I don't want to go into that shop. It's creepy as hell.
It's a scary industry because even, and I say this delicately, even authenticity has become trendy, right?
Yeah,
like,
well,
look
word,
at me and look how real I am.
People
and
crying on the internet.
You know, like, look at my cellulite and look,
you don't have cellulite.
Everyone's got cellulite.
You lie.
Everyone.
You don't have cellulite.
Everyone's got cellulite. But it's more
don't
that.
Don't spoil it.
That, sorry. Okay, I don't.
Off the show, James.
I don't. I'm the mannequin.
Take this one.
I'm
off the
mannequin
show.
In the store. But it's just be real. Just, you know, and particularly in travel, it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But the flip side of that is you also need to sometimes bloody pay. That's the side of influencer marketing that no one talks about.
Yeah, let's also just get into that for a second, because there are a ton of people who do travel shows or do television or do influencer stuff who are just cheapskates who are looking for a freebie.
Yeah.
They will
Courses on Instagram. I don't know if you've seen them. They're great. My butt cheeks, but have you seen? Yes, I did say that.
No, go on.
The courses on stay at 5-star hotels for free.
No.
Click. Oh. Yes.
These fucking parasites.
It's these filter. You know these new like business filters
that.
And like.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what?
Comment. The one subscribe, thing, and I'll send you my course or my booklet.
I know. Give someone, us your email.
Yes.
You know
what
I mean?
Someone who has not paid. She has not paid for a meal in my presence for 20 years. I can't say she's a friend. She's just one of those people who's extremely good at getting other people to pay for everything for her. And she doesn't even have like the greatest personality or anything to go with it. It's not like she's fun to be with and you're kind of paying for the entertainment or anything. She's just a leech.
Mm.
And she will find ways like these videos. You're telling me that there are people who are actually marketing themselves as experts in how to get stuff for free.
Yes. 100%.
Stay mad.
I think the tag is stay at 5-star hotels for free. Comment, pick me or whatever the word is.
Right.
And I'll send you my guide on how to do it. And that really bothers me because I work with all the different stakeholders in this party. And at no point is that benefiting anyone at all.
Except that.
Bleach. Except you getting, and then when you've got credible people that go to them with an idea or an opportunity
or a review,
they're like, we've burnt our fingers with influencers. We don't want to go near, our GM doesn't want to hear about influencers. And I don't blame them because there's no accountability in this process of smoke and mirrors.
Let's be honest though, the social media is the wild, wild west.
100%.
You know, we make the rules 100%. Up as we go. And look, I'm one of those people who applauds people that take advantage of certain things. Like if you are in a position to perhaps travel for free.
Yeah.
And you are maybe the first crop of people that make it in before it becomes, as you say, annoying and parasitic. Mm. Hey, man, take the free trip.
I have to say this because So I've had a number of incredible experiences which I didn't pay for in my life. I'm sure you have too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, there are lots of us who are going to be, especially because the media business or doing your own travel show or whatever, you're going to be offered stuff. But I have to say that there's nothing better than the first time that you pay for a really expensive business class ticket,
yeah,
or a 5-star hotel,
yeah,
with your own money. And I know that sounds crazy to people who maybe haven't ever got anything for free. And there are probably going to be people in the comments here going to say, you are so full of shit. It's fine. You can believe me. I like knowing that I'm paying for this.
Mm.
Like, there's an exchange of value. I don't have to then say how wonderful it is for 3 days afterwards and feel guilty that I got it for free. It sounds crazy, right?
Yeah. But
there is something very, very lovely about just paying for something.
I mean, it's psychology.
That's what I want. I'm going to pay for it. That's what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
It's psychology 101. The pursuit of the goal is what rewards you more than the goal itself.
Yeah. But I'm going to add to that. The reason that you feel that way is because you have a conscience attached to that consumer purchase and that consumer behavior. But you'll be surprised at how many people will go to a hotel, promise them the world, stay for 2 nights, order room service, rack up a bill, food, alcohol, whatever, walk away and not do a single post and think nothing of it. Absolutely nothing of it.
Now that's a new level of, remember those people who used to go to restaurants and they'd order something and then they'd complain about it and they'd get it for free and then they'd go back again try and do the same thing.
And it all filters in, into this idea of entitlement, right? It's just entitlement.
It is.
We live in a world of, and even I'd like to think I'm at a slightly more advanced stage in my career than a lot of people that are entering the travel space at the moment. But even at that stage, it's a case of this is what I can give you and this is what I'm willing to take from you and this is what you're going to get back. And when I lecture now and give these talks on influencer marketing, you get these faces like, what do you mean? They should be so lucky to have me stay. And I'm like, no, love. That's not how this game works.
They got customers in and out every day. They're not thinking about you.
And 90% of audiences behind these influencers are never going to pay to stay. They are all aspirational.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So what's your value exchange?
The thing is, though.
Sorry, I just want to read this quickly from Tracy. She's a photographer. She says, worst is an influencer with 5,000 followers asked me to photograph her surprise engagement and wedding. Wait for it. For exposure.
Yeah.
No, honey, exposure doesn't buy the science diet.
I love these stories. Mm-hmm. These stories can go on for weeks.
The thing is, like, I have to ask. The word privilege is thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
But it does exist in certain instances.
Sure.
Pretty privilege is a real thing. You and I would have to be blind to not notice that you are a beautiful woman.
Thank you.
And certain things are going to come a lot easier to you than they would to, you know, someone who looks like me.
Oh, Slippery Pickles is cliff privilege. Go to hell. What is that? But you did. Okay, so I do think pretty privilege is a thing. But the other thing that you brought up earlier, which is another kind of privilege, whenever people talk about this word privilege, it grates me too, because the best privilege you can have is what you mentioned earlier about growing up in a home
with both parents,
where you have parents who love you.
Yeah.
And where they give you freedom, but there are also certain limitations. So you know you can't go out there and go wild and behave like a complete fucking maniac.
Yeah.
But you also have the ability to choose your own future, make a career for yourself, try different things. That's privilege.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And I mean, for us, it was, when I say us, my brother and I, it was particularly difficult. Obviously, growing up in a Muslim community in South Africa, there's your parents' rules and then there's society rules, we push those boundaries. I still push those. I get into a lot of trouble.
Mm.
Oof, I still, even at my ripe
trouble is good
age,
sometimes.
I am in a lot of trouble because
for
me,
you don't look
like
the kind of person who likes following rules.
No, I struggle. But for me, it's about everything, even religion, I need to break down and rebuild to make sense for me.
Mm.
And I think having that grounding that I had allows me to do that. And I have to do that now for my son because he's growing up in a different community, in a different world. Yeah. And, you know, he's got a mixed cultural background to him now. And we've got to pick and choose from both sides. And I get so much shit. I mean,
really?
I put a Christmas tree up every year. I love celebrations. I'll celebrate the fact that it's Wednesday today if I can, and I'll put fairy lights up. Oh, but I get so much shit.
Okay, this drives me mad. I mean, I grew up in a nominally Christian family. I mean, I don't want to insult my parents and upset them. I'm not even sure if they really would get upset. But most of my life, I haven't really been religious. But I love Christmas. Mm. It's my favorite thing. It's just like a fun family time, gift giving. You know, tinsel, celebrations, Christmas music. I love it.
Yeah.
And I think I should be allowed to choose that. And frankly, if I want to choose a little bit from this one or this one or this one, I can do that too without having to make it like my guiding thing. And by the way, if you do and you are a very, very religious Christian, Muslim, Jew, Hindu, whatever it might be, great.
Yeah.
I've got to the point where I'm not necessarily the big asshole I used to be where it was important to be right. Like, you do whatever you want to do.
Exactly.
Make yourself happy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Raising kids is a lot harder because now you have to, in your case especially, you have to decide what do we choose for him? Do we include this stuff? Do we not include that stuff? There's going to be stuff from your family that you leave behind. There's going to be stuff from your husband's family that you leave behind. And he might just choose a completely different path at some point.
And I mean, it's all part of tolerance, right? Like building a tolerant child is exposing him to different aspects of different cultures and different. And Dubai does this really, really well. Some of the biggest and boldest Christmas decorations I've ever seen in my life have been in Dubai.
Yeah.
And you know, even that, you get so much criticism from so many different communities over. But it's all part of defining who you are. And yes, there's days where you post something and you get absolutely hammered on socials. Mm. And I'm used to it now, and you learn to deal with it. But it's all part of what you said earlier. It's just, that's who I am. That's my authentic self. That's my mom style. That's,
well,
deal, you know,
I gotta
it is
say,
what it
like,
is.
One of the reasons I wanted to have you in the studio and to talk to you is because that was the impression I got in that first conversation we had, and you haven't disappointed. And I wish you luck with your new TV show, which hopefully we'll be able to see as well.
Yes, thank
when
you.
When does it kick off and where can we find out more?
It'll be on YouTube with the new one.
Brilliant.
So it'll be available to everyone. And then the next big project hopefully will be a children's storybook line based on travel.
Okay, now that could be fun.
Yeah, Noah's Adventures.
Excellent.
First one set in Soweto.
He's going to be an influencer without even knowing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, for me, it's just a way to bring travel into homes that may not have the access to it and teach them different
things. All right,
Sounds cool.
Lovely of you to come and spend some time with us this morning. Thank you to Zahira and thank you to our other guests this morning, Nobisutu, and of course to you, Jack. And we will be back.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, we'll be back next Monday. I'm not doing Friday's show. I've got some other stuff I have to do, so don't hate me and don't scream and shout. I promise you the rest of the team will be here to look after things. James, you're going to be looking after things, right?
I will be, yeah.
You won't fuck it up, huh? Thanks. Good. James and Pierre, they're gonna hold the fort for Friday.
Oh, that's gonna be interesting. I can't wait.
Don't forget tomorrow morning a live burning platform on the podcast party. We'll keep you updated with all the stuff you need to know. Don't go anywhere. Have an awesome day. Ciao.
Cheers.
Bye.